Fun. The overall title of the VBS was Maker Fun Factory. And so there was lots of fun going on this week. But you know, we're all children of God. And God doesn't desert or just keep fun for little children. But fun is for all children. And we're all children of God. And so I want to talk to you about God, the maker of fun, this morning. Now, there is a insert in your bulletin you can take out, you can follow along with this morning and take some of these thoughts home with you. I hope that you'll have a new appreciation for God and for fun this morning. I looked up the definition of fun, and it said this: enjoyment, amusement, lighthearted pleasure. Now, many times when we think about the pleasure that God gives, we think about it as deep and rich and life-changing. And we don't think about it as being lighthearted. And yet God makes us have fun. And much of the fun that God gives us is lighthearted. Not just heavy fun, but lighthearted pleasure. We don't normally associate God with fun. But God is the creator of everything. And if we're created in God's image, and we like to have fun, well, where did we get it from? It comes from God, that we're created in his image. If we have a sense of humor, God has a sense of humor. Well, he'd have to. Just look at the person beside you. But God has a sense of humor. Now, some that's more staid and religious amongst us, immediately in your mind comes the verse, but Jesus, he was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. That's how we should think of Jesus, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Now, he was a man of sorrows, and he was acquainted with grief. All the grief that our sins brought upon us, he bore it on the cross. He died for us. He was a man of sorrows. But you know, he wasn't always a man of sorrows. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes 3:4. It says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And so I believe, yes, Jesus wept. But I think there was also a time when he laughed. There was a time to mourn, but I think Jesus also danced. Well, how would we know that? Well, I don't know. He went to the wedding at Cana, and that's main part was that wedding, people were dancing. They were dancing, enjoying. They ran out of wine. So who did they turn to? Jesus. And he made wine, and it was the best wine that they had. They said they saved the best to the end. Jesus is not adverse to people having fun and relaxing and laughing. You know, there's a photo, and I'm going to show it to you in a moment. It's a painting, and it's called The Laughing Jesus. And it was painted in 1973, and they're going to bring that up in a moment. It was painted by a Canadian painter, Willis Wheatley. And it came in such a way that it sort of took the world by storm. And so it's called The Laughing Jesus because I don't know if there's any depiction of Jesus before this picture was painted that showed Jesus laughing. A full-hearted, throw your head back, show your teeth, and laugh. We don't normally think of Jesus this way. But you know, this picture went on and on and on, and it was reproduced, and then there were so many other artists, and if so, you Google Laughing Jesus, you'll see all kinds of pictures of Jesus laughing. But I think it struck such a chord because people saw a different side of Jesus. Jesus laughs. The first time that I ever personally was struck by this was a film I watched a number of years, and I believe it was actually made in 1973, in the early 70s, called The Gospel Road with Johnny Cash, The Gospel Road. How many have ever seen that video? Well, I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else? The Gospel Road. And it was a movie that Johnny Cash made, and it was all country music, and it was lighthearted, and the main song title was The Gospel Road, and Johnny is playing on the guitar, and he's talking about the disciples, this band that was following Jesus down the Gospel Road. Jesus had 12 disciples. Well, depicted on the movie was, as the song is being sung, is Jesus and the 12 disciples walking down the road. Now, I had never pictured it in my mind, because 12 people is quite a few people. But in the movie, he's walking down the lead, and all his disciples are behind him. Now, here's the thing that I never realized before. They were all kibitzing. They were pushing one another and laughing with one another. And one of the disciples runs up and jumps and piggybacks one of the other disciples. Jesus turns, he smiles, and they laugh, and they keep going. And I remember at the time thinking, that's not a picture I had of Jesus walking down the road with the 12 disciples. I sort of thought, Jesus walking along, they're all sober-faced, walking behind him. I don't know why we think that. Why would we not think that Jesus and his disciples, in the midst of their mission, in the midst of their purpose, which was an eternal purpose, that there wouldn't be some aspect of fun? And I believe that there was. And I thank the Lord for that depiction, because it's stuck in my mind ever since. When I read the scripture about Jesus and the disciples, I have this picture of them going down and sort of tripping one another, and the laughter that was happening as they were going down the road, the Gospel Road. Do you really think, here's your fill-in, Jesus had a sense of humor? Jesus had a sense of humor. One of the places that I mentioned in the book that I wrote was the time when Jesus is in the house, he's teaching, and they're bringing this man that's lame. They can't get in, the house is full. They go on the roof, they tear a place, open the roof up, they lower the man down in front of Jesus, and Jesus stops. He looks at the man and he says, your sins be forgiven you. Your sins are forgiven. The people standing around were, the Pharisees, no man can forgive sin. Only God alone can forgive sin. What's he doing? And Jesus turns up, and this is where I see Jesus' sense of humor. And it's in Luke 5:23. He says, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk. It's like Jesus, they're so amazed that, you know, they figured he could heal, but forgive sins? He's, well, what's easier to say? I can say your sins be forgiven just as easy as I can say take up your bed and walk. I don't think we see the humor in that. There was a sense of humor. I can almost see Jesus with their faces. Their faces are all aghast that he would do this. And he says this joke, as it were, which is easier to say. I could say your sins are forgiven. There's a sense of humor that Jesus had. And we're created in that image of God. You know that we are the only creatures on earth, humans, that laugh. We talk about laughing hyenas, but they don't really laugh. We're the only creatures that laugh. We're the only creatures who smile. You know that we're the only, like apes don't smile. They don't have the, what's it called? Zygomatic muscles. The zygomatic muscles that go from the cheekbone to the corner of your mouth. When we smile, they contract and the edges of our mouth goes up. Apes don't have that. They have no capability to show a smile or to laugh. Man has that. So what happens when we physically laugh? How did God make us so we could laugh? Now listen, I saw this and I'll just read it to you. What happens in our physical bodies when we laugh? Our body, when we laugh, our body performs rhythmic, vocalized, expiratory, and involuntary actions. 15 facial muscles contract, and there is electrical stimulation of the zygomatic major muscle, that muscle that extends from each cheekbone to the corners of the mouth. It raises the corner of the mouth when a person smiles. Currents of varying intensity produce a wide range of facial responses. The respiratory system is upset by the epiglottis. The epiglottis is that cartilage that, when you swallow, goes over your windpipe and blocks the windpipe so that you can swallow. It says, listen what happens when you laugh. The respiratory system is upset by the epiglottis half closing so that air intake occurs in irregular gasp rather than calm breaths. Under extreme circumstances, the tear ducts are activated so that while the mouth is opening and closing, there is a struggle for a sufficient amount of oxygen intake. The face becomes moist and often red. Noise is often accompanied with this off behavior, ranging from controlled snickers, escape chortles, and spontaneous giggles to ridiculous cackles, noisy hoots, and uproarious guffaws. Now, you didn't laugh hard enough to cry, but that happens. We get laughing so hard at something, tears start coming down. Why does that happen? God made us this way. And there's something that's therapeutic in laughter. There's something released into our body when we laugh. People that have psychotic problems, they don't laugh. Because something is happening to take away that aspect from their life. God is the maker of fun. God wants us to laugh. He wants us to joy. Here's your feeling. God wants us to have fun. He wants us to have fun. Here's what Ecclesiastes 8:15 says. So I recommend having fun, because there's nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. So yes, there's responsibility and purpose and sober undertakings that we are to have. But we also have a time to laugh and to have fun. And don't think it's ungodly. Don't think that God turns his face in disgust when we laugh. I think God joins over us and laughs with us. Because the sense of humor we have is the sense of humor that comes from him. Now, there's two ways to have fun. There's two ways to have fun. And Proverbs 10:23 tells you what they are. A fool's fun is being bad. A wise man's fun is being wise. Now, there's two ways to have fun. You can either enjoy the fun that comes from God, that comes out of his wisdom, or a fun that you try to manufacture on yourself, separated from God. And that's a fool, because the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And a fool's fun is being bad. Here's what it says did I already give you the field in the fool's way? This is the fool's way. Proverbs 1:11. They may say, come and join us. Let's hide and kill somebody just for fun. Let's ambush the innocent. Now, isn't it amazing that even to the probably the worst sin that could be done is to kill someone else? That the scripture says that many times that motivated out of a sense of fun. And, of course, we have read that. We've read it, and it just makes you wonder why people could have fun and kill someone. But then some people have fun just because they want the excitement of going out and robbing somebody. And going and doing something bad towards someone. That's the fool's way to have fun. It says in Proverbs 10:23 in the message, an empty head thinks mischief is fun, but a mindful person relishes wisdom. So again, it contrasts a fun that's manufactured just from ourself with a seeking of God's wisdom. Because if you're going to have fun, you need to have it God's way. Now, here's another verse of the fool's way to have fun. And Ephesians warns against it. It says, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. And so we don't need dirty jokes. We don't need coarse jokes that belittle and take away from the dignity and the morality of the Lord. These are not things. This is the way that a fool has fun. But it's not the way that God wants us to have fun. When a fool makes fun, here's your fill-in, he makes fun of. When a fool makes fun, he makes fun of. And so much of the fun that's in the world is at the expense of someone else, making fun of them. And we find in the scripture, even Hannah, who was the mother of Samuel, that when she was barren and couldn't bring a child, that her husband's other wife made fun of her. And again, this is the world's way of making fun. Because if you don't have God's fun, if you don't have it coming from the true source, you will try to make fun. And you'll make fun of people, and you'll try to make fun by telling dirty jokes. You'll make fun by doing bad things and mischievous things. And that is fun. We're going to go out and have some fun on the weekend. And those are the ways that is destructive. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of that way is death. So you might think that there's a way to have fun, but the end of that way is death. And so here's your next fill-in. The end of a fool's fun is a funeral. We call it a funeral. But I tell you, when you try to make fun of other people and you go with the crowd and you don't want to stand out and you're just going to go with the world and the mirth of the world and the sitcoms of the world and the novels of the world, and that's where you're getting your enjoyment and your fun out of it, it's going to end in a funeral. That way leads to death. Now contrast that with the next fill-in, the wise man's way. The wise man's way to fun. Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When you give your heart to the Lord, and you say, Lord, I want to walk your path. I want to be wise. And that's the wisest decision that you'll ever make, to give your life to God and say, God, I want your life to come. And he promises to put his Holy Spirit within us. That life brings something. It's a path of life. And in the Lord's presence, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. You'll never be happier. You'll never feel more satisfied. You'll never have more fun if you'll relax and enjoy it than when you are walking the way of the Lord. Galatians 5:22-23 lists the fruit or the result of God's Spirit, his life being in us. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things are good. And we rightfully emphasize that God's Spirit in us causes us to love. It's listed first. We become loving people. But do we recognize the very second trait that's listed here is that you'll have joy? We talk about that the mark of a Christian is that they are they're loving, and that's true. But the second mark of a Christian is that they're happy and they're joyous. They're not complaining. They're not down. They're not soured-faced. But you know what? There's a lot of Christians that way. They have a sour look about them. They have there's no joy in their life. They seem to take pleasure in what they say, killjoys. Oh, Christians are killjoys. Just the opposite. We may not go to the extent of the fool's way to have fun, but we are not just criticizing that. We're enjoying the fun of the Lord in our relationship with God that really overshadows any other kind of fun that the world would have. And we need to experience that. Are you experiencing fun? Are you enjoying the Lord? Is your walk with the Lord causing you pleasurable sensations? Is there a lightheartedness in your walk with God? Now, if you do it without God, Solomon tried to do it without God, and this is what he said, the wisest man that lived, when he tried to say, he's going to try to find this without God. In Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1 to 2, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? Because when someone has an emptiness on the inside and they're living a shallow life and they're trying to mask it with mirth and pleasures, it doesn't last. It says that there's pleasure in sin for a moment. When there's that first taste of sin, there's a pleasure, a physical pleasure, but it soon turns to something. And it, as the proverb says, it turns to gravel in the mouth. And so at first you taste it and it's so good, but then there's a grittiness comes, and then you realize, I got a mouthful of gravel. And then you're like Solomon, you say, what was that all about? That's not lasting. There's got to be more to life than this. And so many people that have spent a weekend of so-called fun wake up the next morning and they're disillusioned, they're discouraged because it doesn't last. It's brought conflicts into their life. It's brought negative consequences into their life. And they realize that's not what it's all about. But there's a pleasure in God, a joy in the Lord that's different. Now, Jesus went about teaching people. And here's your fill-in. Jesus taught that our joy may be full. Why did Jesus teach the things he did? Why did he give the parables that he gave? The scripture tells us in John 15:11, these things I've spoken to you, Jesus is telling them, I've said these things to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. God wants us to be filled with joy and happiness. And there's a dimension of fun in our life. And he taught the things he did. Because he said, if you do these things, it's going to take away your joy. It's going to bring negative consequences into your life. So here's what I'm telling to you. I'm telling you this. And he speaks to them. And he's saying, so that my joy will be in you. And that your joy will be complete. God is the source of all joy. Here's what Psalm 126, verse 2 says. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. That's why we should be smiling. That's why we should be laughing. That's why we sing, because the Lord has done great things for you. Now, if you have a negative outlook, you'll see everything that's negative in your life. You'll be a pessimist. You'll point out all the things that's not according to what it should be without realizing God's the source. He's not finished yet. He's still working in my life. This isn't the last chapter. When you're reading a novel, you got to get to the end of the book before it all wraps up. It'll go through some tensions. There'll be some conflicts. But by the end of the book, you'll see how it all wraps up. Listen, don't just look at the negative things that's in your life right now. Our trust is in God. And we realize, hey, right now, this is kind of rough, but you know what? God's my source of joy. It's not in the things that's happening to me. I've got something inside that's causing me to have joy. And isn't it amazing when Paul and Silas were arrested and they were cast into prison and beaten, you know what? And they found themselves at midnight. What did they do? They started to sing praises. Now, I don't think, I sort of think about that as they didn't really want to, but they said to themselves, we should sing some songs here. Now, I don't think that really would have cut it. Do you really think? I think in the midst of it all, they gave worship to God and praise to God because they knew he was in control. Even though they were in a prison, there was a satisfaction in their heart. We're doing God's will. We're here. They had already heard the call. That's why they went to that place, because they had gone to Macedonia because Paul had heard this voice, say, come over to Macedonia and help us. They went over. They found all this trouble, but they started to sing praise at midnight. And the prison shook, and the doors opened, and they were free. There's something about drawing deep into your soul of joy when you're going through difficult times. Here's your last fill-in. The ability to laugh and have fun is a sign of a healthy spirituality. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. What's a broken spirit? It's one that doesn't have any joy. It doesn't have any fun. It's all just duty and effort, and I've got to keep doing this. A merry heart can rejoice. A merry heart laughs, and it does good like a medicine. Contrast to a broken spirit. You know, some of you have watched, what's it called? Just Gags? It's on one of the programs. What's it called again? Yeah, Just for Laughs. And there's little gags that they have. And I remember watching one, and it was of a fountain. And as people would walk by, the fountain would squirt, but it would squirt right in their faces as they would walk by. And as you watched people's reaction, some people turned and frustrated and, you know. And yet other people, as soon as it happened, they laughed. Now, you know who I want to be? I want to be a person when something like that happens, I laugh. Because if not, you're taking yourself way too seriously. Life is just going to be awfully hard for you because you're going to get squirted in the face a lot of times. And you might as well laugh about it than get upset about it. I remember years ago, I can't even remember who it was, and if you're here and it was you, you tell me about it. But someone left a message. A mother in the church had left a message, and they were on the phone, and they were giving a message, and I hear their child, it's on the message. The child in the background is screaming and yelling and wanting this and that, and she's trying to give this message, and all of a sudden, she starts to laugh. And she laughed, and then she, you know, she's trying to go on with the message she's telling me, and this child is going on in the background, and she's laughing. And I remember saying to her after, you have I may not have just put these words, but this was the essence of it. You have a healthy spirit. When those kind of things happen, and you laugh, and you don't get angry, and you don't turn in frustration, and you don't yell, but you laugh. That's a healthy spirit. That's the joy of the Lord. And that's what God wants us to have. We need to cast off a religious spirit that wants to say the things of God is always sober. Now, there are parts of it that's very sobering. but it's not somber. There's a joy in serving God. And you need to draw upon the joy of the Lord and not have a spirit that condemns. And I've had people say, you know, you shouldn't laugh in church. Because their mindset is, you don't laugh in the service. Because that would be offensive to the Lord. That would be irreverent to the Lord. But that's a faulty understanding. That's thinking God has no sense of humor. God doesn't want us to laugh. If we have fun, it's separate and apart from Him. You have to find your fun outside of the church, outside of God. And nothing could be further from the truth. Because listen, you cannot maintain any endeavor over a length of time without an element of fun in it. If you're at work and you're working at something and there's no fun in it, you won't be able to maintain it. If you're coming to a church that there's no fun at church, or you're in a ministry in the church and there's no fun in that ministry, then you won't be able to maintain it. We just need to lighten up a little bit and say, you know what? That's part of fun, lighthearted pleasure. And just be able to draw on it and enjoy it. And just be yourself. And no, we don't cross over into a fool's way of having fun. But we enjoy the pleasure that God has given us, the way that we're made, how we act, the things that happen that's sort of funny. I don't know whether I should tell this or not. I don't know. We've done this for years. I'm telling a secret, so keep it to yourself, right? Many times when people are over at our house, and we've really enjoyed the time with them being there, when they leave and we say goodbye and we close the door, many times I'll say to the family, I thought they'd never leave. And everybody laughs. And why do we laugh? Because it's just the opposite. We enjoyed the time. And I don't know how many times. So I still do it to this day. And you know, and even if there's family members. I don't know, Ben, when you are, my son's up from Tennessee. And when he goes out the door, I might say to Kay, I thought he'd never leave. And we laugh because we want him to come. We are persuading him to stay longer, and he has. But that's sort of having fun. Now, Kay's dad was old school. And that was not how he was raised. And so we would do this so often. And Kay's sister, Brenda, lived with us for a while. And she was very familiar. Because even if someone left and everyone's the other ones that are still there, like in the gathering, you know, as soon as they leave, I thought they'd never leave. And then we all laugh. Well, anyway, we were down visiting Kay's dad in Tennessee. And so we're packing the kids up. We're leaving. They're saying goodbye. And Kay's sister and her husband, Bob, were still staying because they had gone down too. But we were leaving earlier. And when we left and the door closed, Brenda said, I thought they'd never leave. Kay's dad looked at his daughter and he said, why would you say that? And Brenda said, it's a joke. Ken says that all the time. He said, I can't imagine you why you would ever say that. Now, Kay's dad had a sense of humor too. But in that particular case, he just didn't quite catch the joke. And so what I'm saying to us as we bring this message to a close this morning, have fun. Realize that God is the author of fun. It's a good fun. It's a fun that's brought from wisdom. It's a fun that comes from knowing the Lord. And that joy of the Lord is your strength. It's a strength. And so don't become weakened. Let a merry heart be in you. Laugh, enjoy. Don't make fun of other people. Don't don't tell jokes at someone else's expense. Tell them at your own expense. And then you'll see the joy of the Lord come, and we'll have a glow on our face, and the world will see and want to follow. God is the maker of fun. Let's stand together. Well, we have a lot of things planned this afternoon for fun. Just fun.